Hi and welcome to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky and today I have the pleasure of talking with Gary Sirek, who is the creator, the author of The American Dream Revisited. And I believe, Gary, that you have another book. What's the name of the other book that you've done?
If Your Money Talked, What Secrets Would It Tell?
Wow, this call could go, I believe, almost anywhere. There is just so much we could look at. I received a promotional copy of The American Dream, and thank you very much for that, Gary. I love this book. I've got to say, I do a lot of book reviews, and if you don't mind, Gary, I do a review of this book and put it on YouTube. And what I found is that the approach is very different to most books that I've seen in the past, Gary, and I'm very interested how it came about that you created each chapter to talk about perspective.
Well, it really all happened because of a very strange happenstance at a coffee shop. I have this habit of going to coffee shops on my way to work every morning, and I rotate between three of them, Rick, and I get a coffee, a mocha, and it's just one of those things I do. So I'm sitting in one of them at 8 o'clock in the morning, a place called Karma Cafe, which is right down the street from where I live in Canton, Ohio. And four college students sit down right behind me and start talking about the American dream. Three of them did. And one of them referred to it as the American disaster. And I didn't really like that, but I listened very intently. And the fourth one finally spoke up and was trying to defend the American dream. And the other three shot him down pretty quickly. And that conversation caused me to walk out of Karma Cafe with very bad karma. I was in a really bad mood. And then literally, Rick, a couple nights later in the middle of the night, I woke up and said, I've got to write a book. And so that was the motivation behind it. And then I started looking for people who had unique stories from all across the country. I actually interviewed about 25 people and ended up on 13 stories.
Wow. That's incredible. I noticed on the back cover of the book a fairly significant name here, Dan Sullivan, who is the founder of Strategic Coach, gives it a bit of a review on the back cover there. I mean, this is no lightweight book. How long did it take for you to author this book?
About a year and a half. I just kept playing with the stories and playing with the people and trying to decide and getting rid of ones and finding ones that were better. So it took easy a year and a half from start to finish.
And is this like an amalgamation of a number of different people's experience that you've compiled into this book? Is this how this all came about, or is it your own stories only?
No, it's all about other people. And what I did is I interviewed other people, Rick, to find out what their American dream was and their story and how they came to live in this country in some cases and where they grew up and what circumstances they grew up under. And really, it was more about their lives and what they were into and how they got to where they got to. And I picked a very wide variety of people from a lot of different backgrounds.
Mm. One of the things that we like to do is we like to fold one layer back and not necessarily talk about the topic. We like to explore the people behind, the book and the business. And I hope you don't mind. I'd like to sort of find out a little bit more about Gary and what Gary likes to do in his downtime. Do you have downtime?
Oh, I have some. Absolutely. I like to go for walks. I like to play golf. I like to read. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Righto.
So I have season tickets to the Cleveland Indians, mm-hmm. which is about an hour from my home. Mm-hmm. And I like to go to the mountains and hike. And I like to do conversations like this, which I've been doing a whole lot of them since I wrote the book.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's a real privilege for me to connect with you. And I've done a bit of research and I've looked through your website, and it certainly seems that you're quite busy.
We're not bored.
We're not bored.
There's no boredom in my life.
Yeah, well, you get, I guess, one crack at this life, don't we? You've got to make the most of it.
I agree with that 100%.
So,
and Strategic Coach, by the way, you mentioned Dan Sullivan.
Yes.
He's a friend of mine. mine. Oh, wow. And I've been in his class now for going on 12 years and have found him to be a fantastic teacher for me and mentor. So he's been real important in my career and in my life. He's helped me change a number of things and get my perspective straight on a few things and shift gears when I need to shift them, Rick.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, he's a heavyweight in his industry, and many mentors that I've had know Dan very well, as you do, I guess more so from a mentorship coaching perspective. And you mentioned you're a friend of his. Is that right?
Well, I think I would put myself in that category. Besides a student, I think I'm also a friend. Yeah, we've had some good conversations over the years.
And that's this is one of the things, Gary, that I like to just have a chat and see where the conversation goes. And I think my next thought is it important for people to have a mentor, do you think, in business?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's mandatory for entrepreneurs to have somebody they can fall back on and talk to. Someone who's already been there, done it, and had issues. My mentors in my life have been so important to me. They've really helped me stay on track. Sometimes they've, told me I was completely off base and I needed to shift gears and I was wasting my time. And, and they're not always right, Rick, but they always have opinions. And if you have good ones, they're always in the right place as far as their heart, where they're at and what they really want to accomplish.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's great feedback. And for our listeners, Gary, his professional background is as a financial advisor, author, and speaker. Now, with your speaking engagements, how long have you been doing that part of what you do?
Well, I probably started that maybe 6-7 years ago and started doing some motivational speaking and then spoke around my first book, If Your Money Talked, What Secrets Would It Tell? And I've been doing some speaking around this and actually going to do one in a couple weeks at a fairly large setting in New York, not New York City, but in outer New York. So it's one of those things I really enjoy. I like getting up and talking to people, meeting people, and for the most part, find it very comfortable. I'm okay in that world. So.
That's an interesting point, that you're comfortable. A lot of people, one of the worst fears is speaking in public. And you never had that issue?
Oh, hell yes. I had it really bad in the beginning. I was scared to death.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the first time I ever had to do this, literally, I hyperventilated, went in the bathroom, and found myself a paper bag or whatever, just trying to catch my. Oh yeah, I was freaking out completely. This has been a slow process. It wasn't an overnight success.
But despite the fear, you did it anyway. And I think that's a pertinent thing for entrepreneurs who want to get on stage and start talking about what they can do, is just to, despite the fear, take the action, do it.
And it's funny, the first one, I kind of was set up. A man called me and said, listen, we have about 25, 30 people coming to an event, and we would like you to be the featured speaker. And I said, okay. And I got to the event, and there were 200 people there. And I was just floored. And I said, what about the 25? He said, well, we had a really good response to the mailer. So, and I said, And I just looked and said, wow, that's this is awkward. And so that was the day I hyperventilated. I said, well, excuse me. And I went in the bathroom and said, wow. And then I came out and did my best. But I was really nervous on that one. But, it was a good experience. I'm glad it happened. And it's made for a good story, by the way. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is just the thing. We're trying to our core mission is to help entrepreneurs build business systems that attract, convert, and create saleable assets. Now, when I talk about those sorts of things, I look at authorship as part of that whole process, leveraging the written words in a book. Is that an advantageous thing to be an author as a business owner? What's the purpose behind writing? Is it purely for the sake of sharing your knowledge? Is there strategy behind something like this, or is there another reason for writing books for you?
Well, it's funny. The first book I wrote was more related exactly what you said, Rick. There was a strategy behind it. I had a motivation. I was trying to, first of all, I wanted to write a book. I was an English major in college, and I had never really used my major. Mm-hmm. And I always had a passion for writing. And so I decided I would write this book, and I was hoping there would be some positive feedback business-wise, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I published my own book because I couldn't find anyone that had even a remote interest in publishing it. And that was okay, but I made some money, and it worked out okay. The second book, totally different motivation. I really, truly wrote this book thinking in terms that this isn't about money. This isn't about, you know, anything like that. This is all about how many people can I impact in a positive way? How many people can I really help change their life in a way where they all of a sudden say, hey, the American dream, it's real. It's something I could do too. And maybe I need to look at whatever I'm doing again and put it in that framework instead of the one they might be carrying. So that really truly was the concept behind it.
There's a true purpose there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
You seem to have, a lot of people spend their entire life looking for that purpose, and some find it, many don't. And it's a real credit to you, this book. And I can feel the passion that's come throughout out the pages. And the story was, it was crystal clear. It took me on a path, and I understood. As an Australian, I simply did was switched out the American dream for the Australian dream. There are similarities throughout this book. Do you think this is a global reaching story?
Well, now that you're calling me from Australia, yes, I'm in. So, I did in a lot of ways, because I've been interviewed by someone from England, and I've had a couple conversations with people from Canada, three of them actually. And what I'm finding is that it's much more universal than I really thought of when I was writing it. That really wasn't something I had even given any consideration to. But as it moves around the universe, I'm finding out that people seem to really like it in other countries and relate. And it may be called the American dream, but could be anybody's dream.
Yeah, well, that's pertinent, I think, because our audience is global. And, you know, I think if you don't have a copy of this book, you certainly should contact Gary to get your hands on it. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Gary, I'm interested in philosophy, business philosophy, life philosophies, about mindset, attitude, how you maintain your health, that sort of thing. What's some of the key philosophies in your life and business that you live by?
Well, one of them is I really like routines, and I'm very set in my ways in some regards, but not so set that I'm not willing to change and take on new projects and new exciting things. So part of it is figuring out who you are and what you really want to do in your life, and I think that's huge. And so many people I come across, Rick, and I'm sure you have too, aren't very set in what they really want to do. They don't have defined goals. So my number one thing philosophy-wise, and I tell people this all the time, is you really need to know what you want to have happen in your life. You need to really have something out there. And once you have that, then it's a matter of deciding what's the best way to get it and what's a course of action that you can take. And I find people don't really have that in their life, a whole lot of them. But as I work with entrepreneurs, they have an idea, but they may not be set in concrete. And I really like at least the beginning of a form of what really has to happen if you're going to be successful and what would success look like. I just like to build those models. And that's what I've done with my own career. And it's been a slow process. It's certainly not an overnight success. It's 30 years of doing the same thing, working on it, refining it, and making it better. And writing these books has actually been a positive thing for me because I've had great conversations with people wrapped around them.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that it dovetails fantastically well into this the book. But also, just something you mentioned about how it's taken that many years to, I guess, hone your purpose and work towards it. This is about persistence and consistency. How important is that for you? Do you fall off the wagon occasionally? Do you need to step back and go, look, this is just overwhelming?
Oh, yeah, sure, about weekly. Yeah, about once a week I say, wow, why am I doing this? No, it's funny, but sometimes I just have to regroup and take some time, take some vacation, get some downtime for me. And absolutely, you know, something will happen that just crushes your confidence, and you say, wow, I didn't see that one coming. And then you kind of lick your wounds and start over again. As a friend of mine said, you're allowed to mope for about a day. And he said, and then you have to go back to work. And I said, okay, so that's about right.
Yeah, you
can. And so, yeah, I think that's all part of the learning process. And I think you can't appreciate your wins if you don't have losses, and you can't appreciate your wins if you don't have failures. Mm. I think you need both of them to become very successful, truthfully.
I remember on that very topic, on that very point, when I used to work in a manufacturing role many years ago, and I said to my boss, and with all best intent, I intend to have a few failures today because that's the only way I can learn. And I remember his response was just pure horror. But the reality is, how does anyone learn is essentially through mistakes, isn't it?
Oh, totally. If you don't screw up, how do you know what's good? So how do you celebrate your wins if you don't have losses? I mean, if it was a win every single day, everything you did, it would be pretty boring. In reality, and so you have to have them. You know, they're not. Are they fun? Of course not. Are they exciting? Sometimes. But mostly what they are is learning tools, and that's really how I see them. And sometimes I wish I didn't have to learn so much, Rick, but the way this works. So
that's life, isn't it? Every day you wake up, there's another opportunity to get on that bike and learn some more.
Yes, so very true.
Are you in a promotional phase at the moment for your new book? What's happening with that?
Well, I've been doing a lot of radio interviews and podcasts. I think I'm at 45 or 50 since the book came out in November.
Wow.
We're doing some speaking engagements, and we're climbing up the charts a little bit. We sell a fair amount on Amazon, and although then there's a month where we don't sell anything, and I say, wow, that's odd, but it just works that way.
Yeah.
And what's really happening is it's just kind of moving on its own right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting in the time and the effort. But it has its own life, and that's fully what I expect to happen with this book. I think it'll just travel at its own pace, and I'm real curious where it's all going to end up, Rick. I mean, I have lots of, you know, I thought, wow, it would be great if this happened, if that happened. We'll see. But right now, I'm just having fun with it because it's one of those things. It's hard work writing a book, and talking about it is not hard work. It's fun for me. So this is the good part.
Yeah, look, like I've mentioned earlier, it's a real privilege to talk to an established author. And I can see the struggles that so many people who start out with the best of intent to write their own book, their own story, and get it out there, they don't actually get across the line. That's a real shame. What would you say to people that are in that position that still have that that passion to write a book?
What I realized is that I couldn't sit down and, because I'm not doing this full time, it's just almost a hobby of sorts, although a pretty serious hobby, I gotta say.
I
had to break time away and spend time really writing, and I had made up my mind that I would write 2 or 3 days a week, and it usually be in the evening, and I would sit down and I would just sit at the computer and I would write stuff and I'd look at what I wrote and then I'd throw that away and start again. But it's really persistence. You hit it before. It's a battle of persistence and forcing yourself to sit down and do this and sit down and do it.
Yeah.
And when you're done, all of a sudden you have a book. And that's really what happened with mine. I wrote the chapters and I read them and I went through them and edited them. And then I gave it to real editors. And by the time I was through, I realized I'd written something that I was happy with.
Yeah, it's a credit to you. I just can see you there on the day that you come to the realization that you had completed this and it had come full circle. How did you feel that moment when you had the first hard copy in your hand?
I had probably the biggest smile I've seen in a lot. And the cover was done every day. I mean, it was just very cool.
Yeah.
And I really think I think for about a week, I don't think I broke my smile once. It just was one of those things where I just said, whoa, this is really good. And I think I went to sleep with a smile and woke up with one. It's a really good feeling.
Mm.
And it's not an explosion of, you know, all of a sudden your book came out, it's going to be amazing. You know, I'm not John Grisham or Lee Child or some famous author.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm Gary Surak. No one really knows who I am except my mother. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, so that doesn't really happen. And people that are authors I've talked to, that fellow authors, and I say, well, I was so disappointed my book came out, and they said, what about you? And I said, no, I didn't expect anything to happen. So I was pretty good.
Yeah.
And they'd look at me and say, really, you didn't? I said, no, I said, I kind of realized that this wasn't going to be some amazing explosion. And, you know, I was going to go to the top of the New York bestseller list. I said, that's not going to happen. I said, this is, you know, if something does happen like that, that'd be wonderful. Very cool. But reality says, that's not how this really works.
Well, so, you know, we always try to focus on giving takeaways, valuable takeaways for our audience. And the thing that I could take away from that is to think about the end of that journey. If you're looking, or you're an aspiring author who's just about to pick up the pen or start typing, think about that day, that moment where you go through those processes and you feel that joy. That's got to be payoff in itself. And those with, I guess, little expectation of you know, fame and fortune certainly won't be disappointed, will they?
Absolutely not. And that's really how I felt, Rick. You described it. You hit it right on the head. So, yeah, fun. It's fun and hard work and a real sense of pride when I was finished. I mean, it's just one of those things. As I look and say, wow, I've written two books in my life. I have a third one I'm kind of working with now in my brain. And I feel really good about that.
Yeah, well, look, I look at the American Dream book, and I think what's important is to, I don't think it crosses borders. It crosses countries. We're human beings. We have the human condition. We all have aspirations. We are challenged today in today's societies with all number of different things, of which we won't go into any depth, but they are real challenges. But, you know, keep that dream alive is what I would say, regardless of where you are across the earth, and get yourself a copy of The American Dream Revisited. But before we share about how you can get that, Gary, I looked here in an editorial pack that I received, and it talked about books of my life. I love reading, and it seems that you do too. What are you what are you currently reading at the moment?
Actually, I'm reading a phenomenal book, and it's called Persuasion.
Persuasion. Hmm.
Yes, and it's by a man named Robert Cialdini. Cialdini, I believe, is how you pronounce it, and he's a professor out in California. And it's a fascinating read, and it's how our mind works from a sociology standpoint, a psychology standpoint, of how we can persuade someone instead of persuade them. And he goes through a whole bunch of stories and tells some pretty interesting stories, real fascinating. It's an excellent read. I would tell anyone who's in the sales business, they would like to read this book for a lot of reasons. One, it's entertaining. Two, it's smart. This man has his act together. So I've been reading that, and I'm also reading a book on public speaking. There's a book called The Masters of Public Speaking, and it's really a chapter from about 25 different speakers. It was written probably 25, 30 years ago, and I found it in my library, which I had picked up many, many years ago, read probably 20 years ago, and have been rereading it, and it's interesting. Something that was written a long time ago about public speaking is so proper and germane today. It's perfect.
Yeah, it seems that you know, a lot of the principles don't change. Tactics might, but principles rarely do. Do you agree?
And that's what that's. So those are the two things I'm tackling right now.
Yeah. So. I also noticed that there seems to be a good balance between fictional books that you're involved with and business-related books. How important is it to actually just step away and relax and just enjoy a book for the sake of a book?
Oh, I love doing that. In fact, I keep track of every book I read, and I've been doing that for probably the last 10 years, Rick. And I try and read one fiction and one book that's relevant to my business or something that I have an interest in. And really, I love the fiction books because I'll read Lee Child, I'll read some you know, Jack Reacher stories, or I'll read something. There's a Parker, Robert Parker, and he writes about a character, Spencer for Hire, who's in Boston. He's a private detective, fascinating, excellent writer. He just passed away, and someone picked it up and has been writing in his style. I have that sitting on my desk. That will come up soon. So, yeah, I think it's great to be balanced. I think you got to be balanced in everything. I think if you're all business, you're pretty boring. If you're all fiction, you're not in reality. I think you just need to have a little bit of everything. I'm a big proponent of that.
Yeah, well, that's an incredible takeaway because, you know, so often we see, you know, the bias between, you know, coming back to, the, I guess, the 80-20 rule is that 80% is all work. Makes you a pretty dull person if you only have that little 20% of time to, you know, play and relax and enjoy your family, whatever it is you like doing. So, you know, getting that balance is critical. Gary, it's like always, when I'm enjoying the calls, the time just flies by. Yes. We've been chatting half an hour already. I want to share with our audience how they can find you, what domains they could go to, and where can they find your books?
Amazon carries my book, and that works well. Obviously, that's been good. And I'm also available. My website is Gary Surak, and that's SIRAK.com. And people can order my book off of that. And those are the two main places right now, Amazon and my own website. We've got some stores in the States, Books A Million and Barnes & Noble both carry my book. So that's pretty much the exposure we've been able to get so far.
Is it all right? I'd like to put together a post which essentially summarizes our call today, and we'll have some links to your websites and where people can buy your books. Is that okay?
Oh, that'd be great.
Not a problem at all. Well, look, Gary, it's just been absolutely fantastic, and I would love to invite you back in the near future to talk a little bit more specifically about other parts of your business, because I suspect we could talk for hours.
Sure that's accurate, Rick. I'm thinking the same thing. I said, you know, considering you and I have never really met each other than we've had a wonderful time chatting, and I'm thinking, yeah, we could be talking for quite a while. I could go get a cup of coffee and we could do this for a long time. But yes, I would love to come back on.
All right. So for everyone who is listening, below this post, you will see some links. Definitely go out and check out Gary's books, The American Dream Revisited, and his earlier book, If Your Money Talked. Gary Surak, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Perfect. Thank you, Rick, and you have a great day.